All right, we are back. Episode 238. We've got March Madness, and we're coming to you with the Sports Day Draft, courtesy of opening day of March Madness on Thursday. Recording this a couple days later this year. Maybe it'll be good. Kind of let the initial bracket thoughts subdue in our bodies. Kind of give us some time to look at it, process it. The data that we did not look at, but we've got some for you guys. Initial thoughts on the bracket. A lot of circulation going around the internet, and I thought so more this year too. Some of the seeding is just dog shit.
Yeah, but I said it last week, and I think it holds true after we've seen the selections on Selection Sunday now. This year was just such a fucking toss-up that I wouldn't have wanted to be the committee. It doesn't help that there were five bids stolen. Granted, some of those just got stolen from other automatic qualifiers, so it didn't make a huge difference. But it's just, it's just crazy. Bids. Yeah, so run off your stolen bids.
North Carolina State UAB top.
UAB winning their conference tournament. They were 23-11, 104th ranked in the net rankings. I think NC State stole a bid with their run sure. that they made. They were 22-14. The winner of the A-10, whichever one it was going to be, whether it was Duquesne or VCU. Yep. Duquesne stole it, but I think VCU would have as well if they came away with it, because near them, they were both kind of teetering on that way. And then New Oregon Mexico. Was my other one.
Wow.
Yep.
New Mexico could have been one too.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
They just had such a good start to the year.
And there were some that they were stolen, but again, they were stolen from a team that would have been the only other person in their conference anyways. Like, for example, I would argue that Drake stole their bid technically. But if they hadn't won, and I can't remember who they played in the conference championship game, but they would have gotten it would have made a difference.
I classified the stolen in terms of teams that won their conference that another already got in. So, like, all those conferences that I listed off, another team had already gotten in. Yep. Like, UAB, FAU got in there. NC State, obviously, many. Duquesne's conference, Dayton got in. And then, obviously, a handful got in from the Pac-12 as well.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why I said New Mexico State on there, because I think, like, there's how many Mountain West teams? Three or four?
You mean New Mexico?
Just New Mexico, yeah. But, yeah.
That's what I
the
said.
The thing is
New Mexico.
Mountain
yeah.
West was tough this year. Like, I was doing a ton of research today, and like, people were saying like the Mountain West was arguably, I'm not arguing this, but arguably better than the Big East in some aspects this year.
Well, they were
outside
just devalued.
Of their top heavy teams, but yeah,
they got devalued by the committee just like the Big East did, though. So, I mean, that's why I say you could argue that New Mexico stole a bit in a way. I mean, they went on a kind of a tear. They beat a three good teams in a row to win their conference, got an 11 seed as a conference winner, which I think usually the Mountain West, that conference winner usually gets at least what we've seen in the years past, a 7-8, sometimes a 9. That's kind of how I look at it. So
I think the Mountain West got too many teams in for the quality of teams that there were. They ended up getting 6 teams in. Colorado State was 24-10 with 10-8 record in their conference. Boise State, yep. They had a good record in their conference, but they were also 22-10. I don't know. They just, for teams that didn't really do a whole lot, I know they base a lot of it on like the net rankings and the quad win system, which is kind of what I dove into a little bit when I was doing my research, but I don't know. I think that some of those teams, at least a couple of those teams, got in over maybe one of the group of five.
Oh, for sure.
And I guess they are group of five, but like smaller conferences. Like a couple of the biggest snub teams that everyone was kind of griping about was Indiana State.
Yep.
8-6.
That was on my 20-win team should get in.
29-win team? They were like 29-5, right? Or
28-6.
Okay.
Yep. They should, but you think about, I mean, the kind of weak conference that it is, and they didn't win the conference.
Yep. That's the conference Drake won. That's correct. I couldn't remember who it was for some reason, but yeah. So like tough. because
you look at them,
they all they had to do was win that championship game.
They were 1-4 in quad one games. The only one they won was against Bradley on the road. That's the only reason it counted as a quad one win. I know that's goes into the kind of qualifications, but they just didn't do a whole lot. And then they got ranked. What was that, like 2/3 of the way through the season? Lost bowl games immediately.
Yep.
So they were one, and then another one that I thought could have, but again, dropped the ball late in the season. Princeton, only lost 4 games all year long.
I have another one.
Who you got?
I got Seton Hall. Seton Hall beat UConn. I don't know why
everyone said that.
They beat UConn, St. John's twice, and Marquette. They literally beat a 1 and a 2 seats in the bracket right now. And then a St. John's team that a lot of other people think got subbed. I think the Big East got devalued a lot. Seton Hall looked like they had a good resume to me. Admittedly, I didn't watch a ton of college basketball this year, but just looking at it on paper, they seem to, you know, be a decent team. So that's why I think they got snubbed a little bit. Like, I'd rather see Seton Hall play than I'm looking at this. I'd rather see Seton Hall play than like a fucking a Virginia team I'm watching right now play Colorado State. I'd much rather seen Seton Hall play in this game right now over Virginia.
I think what devalued a lot of Seton Hall's credit, though, was their strength, or I guess their strength of wins. Because if you look, they were 9-0 in quad four, but in the other three quads, 1, 2, and 3, they were 11-13 or 11-12. So kind of rough.
Right. And like whether we believe in it or not, that's what the committee believes in. And so they probably looked at a lot of that. They saw also, you know, just from kind of following along with college basketball throughout the year, the Big East kind of fell apart outside of those top two teams at the end of the year. Providence kind of fell off. They were ranked earlier in the season. They started losing in a bunch of games that showed tonight. They lost their first round in the NIT. And then Seton Hall kind of as well, you know, just very up and down, lost some not very, not great games, I should say, you know, a couple losses to Villanova, Xavier, just definitely didn't help them in the long run.
They had the wins. They just dropped some bad losses.
Yeah. They only beat Mizzou by 6. That should tell you everything you need to know.
People complaining about Pitt, they lost Mizzou. So there you go. That right there probably kicked them out of the tournament.
Right. Deciding.
Side note, Travis, watching this NIT game, Butler's going to straight up lose.
Really?
Yeah.
Minnesota was one of the historically best teams covering ever.
Well, I wish I'd have known that because I bet on Butler. And Butler was pretty much winning the entire game, had a shot to go up. I had a -5. We're up by 3. Let Minnesota score. And then Minnesota put on the four-court press. They turned it over. And they fouled Minnesota. There's 5 seconds left. And Minnesota shooting free throws. They just tied it up. So there you go. Fun times.
This is March. Hey, anything
yep. happen?
So going back to seeding, though, going back to the teams that actually got in, and we were talking about the seeding that was kind of weird this year. What is a team that you thought should have been a higher seed in this tournament? I'll start first. I've got, and this is like, I get on a soapbox on this one. I think Auburn got absolutely fucking jobbed as a 4 seed.
Yeah. So I'll jump on that with you really fast, not without giving too much detail. So you can go into your why. I had them as well. And then I, in a more broad sense, outside of seeding, I think everybody in the East region kind of got screwed because that region is fucking stacked. And
it stacked the region with the number one overall team, right? In UConn. Yep. And
they put four conference winners in there and major conference winners, UConn, Illinois, yep. Auburn, and Iowa yep. State, all in the same region.
My misseeding is also in that corner of the bracket as well. It's not Auburn. So okay. I'll let you guys go.
I'll tell you why mine's Auburn. Again, they won the SEC tournament. They had a net ranking of 5, 27-7 record. So they had a better record and net ranking and tournament title and got a worse seed than these teams who had no tournament title, worse net ranking, worse record. UNC, Tennessee, Creighton, Marquette, Baylor, Kentucky. All of them got higher seeds than them. Why?
Yeah, and of those teams that you just talked about, Kentucky and Baylor. I don't want to give away too much of my bracket tonight, but I think Kentucky and Baylor are in danger of not making it out of the first weekend. But like Baylor's very, very big danger.
You go to Baylor though, and they're fucking, that region is so easy.
I hear you. We talked about them a little bit earlier. I like New Mexico a lot, and I know
he's fast as fuck.
I hear you. He's fast as fuck. I know we just talked about them and kind of how they maybe snuck into the tournament and their resume isn't super outstanding, but New Mexico matches up well against potentially the first three opponents they play. I think they could be a sneaky Elite Eight team that nobody expects to see. I think
you're wrong. I think everyone is expecting them to make a run, which is why they're not. But
fair.
We're getting off topic.
Yeah. But yes, I agree with you though, that like Baylor, Kentucky, like those teams, they also, you know, you talk about a team, I think Baylor fits this, but Kentucky definitely fits this, of that category of having a really good offense and one of the worst defenses in the entire NCAA, is just not a good recipe to go deep in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
So Auburn, I think, again, I'm not saying, yeah, there should have been a 2 seed, maybe could have snuck in there. 3 seed, definitely worthy. Should have been in a different region as well, but
yeah,
I digress. Who do you have in that quad?
Mine's Illinois. Illinois should have been 2 seed. 100% all day, every day. They're better than Tennessee. They are clearly better than you could even argue that, I mean, they're better than Iowa State, in my opinion. I think they had a better quality resume than Iowa State.
The only problem with Iowa State is they have the best defense in the country by a wide margin.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
And so,
but
I think they're better than Marquette.
Tennessee and Marquette, and you know, first of all, Tennessee being a 2 seed to me is fucking asinine after this clown show they put on that first round of the SEC tournament. I think Illinois, granted, they did not play the upper echelon competition in the Big Ten championship game. They still fucking did it. And I think they devalued the Big Ten this year as a whole, because Michigan wasn't as good as they've been in years past. And I think that's absolutely fucking ludicrous and ridiculous. They still won one of the tougher basketball conferences historically over the last decade. And they're like, okay, you won this. You won 25 plus games. Here's a 3 seed.
Well, here's from somebody who watched a lot of Big Ten games this year, specifically Illinois games. It's not even just Michigan, but like Ohio State was not as good as they typically are this year. Penn State, not as good as they typically are. And so I think they looked at some of those top tier teams, Northwestern, Nebraska, Wisconsin. And they're just like, you know, like they're not normally here. They're probably not as good as we think they are. But I'll to your point, and just trying to play devil's advocate, because I do think that once Illinois won their conference tournament, I was like, oh, they might get a 2 seed. That'll be dope. It sucks that they're, I talked about Kentucky, that they are also a super high scoring team that has a really bad ranking in defense. But I think the caveat to that is as soon as they got Terrence Shannon Jr. back and they started playing kind of as a whole squad again, that their defense got a whole lot better down the stretch. So their actual defensive ranking is outside the top like 130 or whatever it is. But over the last, I think like 2 weeks, it's been somewhere hovering around like 50 to 60. So I think they looked at that and they're like, oh, their defense is not great. Like that's going to knock them down. But if they looked at recency bias a little bit, especially against good competition in the tournament, they probably should have valued them a little bit higher.
Yeah.
I agree. Who was yours then, Ethan? It wasn't either.
Mine was the entire East region or whatever. Whatever that region was, the region with Auburn, Illinois. I told you Auburn was my pick, but because I kind of figured you were going that way after your comment and text message yesterday, I was like, I don't want to pick the same thing as you. I just thought that the East, or is it the East region? I keep saying the East, but I think it's because UConn's in the Big East.
It's the East.
Is the East region. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just felt like that region just got screwed in general because of how stacked it is. That was where I went with that. If you want me to give a specific one, we just kind of talked about them too, maybe not deserving to even be in, but I thought Boise State got screwed with a play-in game. I thought that they, the seeding probably correct as a 10, but I thought that just the way they played down the stretch, maybe they didn't deserve to have to play in the first four. Instead, they could have just been a 10 seed by themselves. That was just a side note that I wrote.
I just go back and forth on Boise State because, like, part of me is like they kind of squeaked into the tournament. I don't know. I think they might have been one of the ones that was kind of controversial. You look at their, you go back to quad quadrant wins. In quad one and two, they were fucking 9-9.
Like, right.
Not anything impressive. That's why I think that the Mountain West could possibly get wrecked.
Yeah, this maybe be a little overvalued. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was
all. Now let's go on the flip side. Sorry, I was taking a drink. Let's go on the flip side, though, because there's a lot of teams that got overseeded. We'll start with the obvious one. Hopefully no one picked it, which is UNC. No chance that they deserve a one seed, especially in the easiest corner of the bracket of the West.
No, and they lucked into it because of Purdue. I think that's the only reason that they got it. And then the same sense, though, I'm saying Purdue because they lost so early in the tournament. But the thing is UNC lost their tournament championship game and they were already a borderline 1-2 seed. So how does them losing their championship game elevate them into a one seed? When, like you said, Iowa State ran through the Big 12 tournament and beat Houston, who is also a one seed and is a very good team. So like, I agree with you there. I think that if anybody, and I don't know if it was because they didn't want to give two Big 12 teams a one seed. I don't know if that was their reasoning, but UNC definitely probably did not. I think if anything, you probably still should have just kept Purdue there. Or is Purdue still a one seed?
They are. They're in the Midwest region.
Yeah. What the fuck am I thinking about then? I thought they took the seed from Purdue.
No, they must have taken. They didn't. See, that's the thing. They didn't take it from anyone. They were just there. Didn't bump Iowa
Maybe
State.
Maybe Arizona.
Yeah, I'll say Iowa State or Arizona that, but are the two that I think. Mine is Tennessee.
Because they lost too.
Tennessee being a two seed is fucking ridiculous to me. Again, I think I'm maybe looking a little bit too much into the conference tournament loss they had, but the way they lost was embarrassing. Was it 20 something points?
It was rough. I mean, they got wrecked. The problem with Tennessee is their whole entire team runs through one guy, which is a Northern Colorado transfer. Granted, I know he's gotten a lot of respect this year. I hopped onto the bandwagon, put out the play in that game, Dalton Connect. Over 22.5 points, and the dude literally could not hit water if he fell out of a boat. And I feel like there's no way that he can play, 8 games against good competition and keep that streak going to get them there. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, let's look what they play in the first round. The St. Peter's Peacocks, baby. Cinderella from last year.
I'm glad you brought that up because Barstool Gambling put out a thing today on Instagram. And I don't know if anyone saw it. But this is, and the thing, I guess it was from a Reddit thread, was a disturbing bracket trend. Every tournament since 2021, so for the last 3 years, a top two seed, so one or two seed, has lost in the first round to a team with a phallic / euphemistic name. In 2021, Oral Roberts beat Ohio State. In 2022, St. Peter's beat Kentucky.
And then you got Fairleigh Dickinson.
Dickinson beat Purdue. This year, Houston plays Longwood.
The only thing
Tennessee
is
plays St. Peter's.
Yep. I was going to say, if I had to pick one, it'd probably be St. Peter's, because while Longwood was running down the stretch, Houston's just so goddamn good. But, yeah, no.
But Houston's coming off the back of a 26-point loss.
That's true. And Longwood won their tournament. So,
but shit, I'm still not picking. I'm not picking any one or two seed to lose in the first round this year. With that being said, I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah,
I did.
I have not officially.
He picked Tennessee to lose.
I did. I 100% did.
Nice.
That's great. I think they could lose. I think they're going down. At least they're not making it past the Sweet 16. So that's how I look at it when I'm filling out my bracket. Is if I like a team to get upset, it's like, okay, well, at the worst case scenario, I don't see them making it to the Elite Eight. So I'm really only losing out on a couple games here.
Right.
Yeah. I looked at this thing. Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going to say, and I feel like we've seen a trend where teams who do upset in the first round typically make the Sweet 16. And then that's kind of where they bottom out or top out or whatever you want to call it. Like we saw St. Peter's Princeton win and then they made it to the Sweet 16. Princeton last year went to the Sweet 16.
FAU.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. They ran all the way to the Final Four, but
yeah, it's
what are you gonna say?
I was going to say the average amount of upsets in a tournament, in like this article I found, they didn't deem like 7-9s or 8-9s upsets. So I'll throw it at the window. But anything 11 or higher, they deemed an upset. And the average amount of upsets in a tournament was 8.5 over the course of the last like decade or so. In the first round, you only had 5 true upsets. That's 11 seeds or higher. So not the 10 sevens, because those to me aren't really upsets either, in my opinion, 10s over sevens. So that's how I kind of base mine off of two. I picked 7 of them, so I went 2 overboard. But, you know, because I'm going to get some wrong, so I might as well overcompensate.
You got to shoot high. Shoot for the moon. Exactly. I'd rather pick more and there'd be less than pick none and there'd be a lot more. My bracket gets absolutely boned.
Yeah.
But exactly. It could go vice versa, and the team you picked to lose in the first round, you know, makes the final four. But
yeah,
either way, so I think we have a little bit contradictory here going. I had a team that I thought should have been ranked lower was Arizona. I think a 2 seed was a little generous. We've seen them not only did we see them lose in the first round as a 2 seed last year with, I think, arguably a little bit better of a roster. They lost in the semis of the Pac-12 tourney. They had the 65th ranked strength of schedule, and I know it doesn't mean a whole lot, but they were ranked 9th heading into the postseason. Lost early. I mean, they didn't make the championship game of the Pac-12, which when we covered last week, we're not going to cover the Pac-12 because Arizona's going to win it. And I just don't think that they did enough to deserve that 2 seed. Not saying they should have been a 4 or 5, but 3 was probably. I think you could have flipped them in Illinois.
Right. But now they have probably, in my opinion, out of all the 2 seeds I'm looking at, the easiest path to Final Four, out of all the 2 seeds.
Well, again, though, you go back to teams that I'm going to bring it up a lot tonight because historically, all the trends I saw today, teams that don't have a great defense. They're a team that does not have a great defense and they rely a lot on their volume scoring, could get knocked out. I have them losing in the Sweet 16. I'm giving away a lot of my bracket picks tonight. But
I mean, I'm just saying they could, but they also, out of all the 2 seeds, if I'm looking at the brackets, they have the easiest path to Final Four.
Yeah, it's one of the easier regions for sure.
For a two seed.
They have a decent defense. I mean, KenPom ranks them at 12. And I think that's where the committee looked a lot into was, you know, their net ranking, the KenPom ranking, which they're very good at offense and defense. But whenever it comes time to put it all on the floor, they can fall apart.
Their KenPom defensive ranking is 12. I must be thinking of a different team then, because I thought they were like outside the top 100. So then
Arizona?
That could be a different story then. Yeah. I could have sworn they were.
You might be thinking Alabama.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I knew Alabama's deep. Again, I said it last week. Take any over of any game they play in this entire
cousin fuckers and meth tweakers. There you go. Alabama, Arizona.
Well, you might only be taking one Alabama over than if you're taking all of their overs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Who was yours then? Your team that was ranked too high.
Yeah. So I had 2 and they're both in the same conference. I think that the West Coast Conference got a little too much love Gonzaga and St. Mary's, both getting 5 seeds. And again, like you said, I'm not saying drop them to a 7, 8, 9, whatever, but 5 seeds over teams like, hold on, I just had it pulled up. I think South Carolina could have been a 5 seed. You could argue that, I'm going through the bracket right here, you could argue for Washington State to maybe have a 5 over one of those teams. But their conference was just so weak this year. You go through the top to bottom, neither of those teams beat anyone worth a damn besides themselves. They beat up on themselves.
Well, it's been
St. Mary's won the conference tournament.
Ever. Gonzaga was just so dominant.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I will say
they haven't really been dominant this year. That's the crazy thing. Yeah. Maybe St. Mary's deserves it because they won their conference tournament. If you want to argue one, sure, but both of them to get a 5 seed. One of them is going to get upset. I don't know which one. One of them is going
to
get upset.
I do, because I think Gonzaga, to me, out of all the 5 seeds, has, again, I'm saying easiest path. I think Gonzaga has a very easier path to get to the Sweet 16 than any of the other 5 seeds.
And we might be in the minority there because I think the same thing, because everyone and their brothers on McNeese State will Wade. I'm on the opposite side where I think that Grand Canyon will be the one upsets St. Mary's for me. Yes, upsets Gonzaga.
Me too. Yeah, I think Gonzaga, because like Kansas is coming to the tournament Olympic, because Kansas is that 4-13 of that region.
Kevin McCullough not even playing.
I think Samford could upset Kansas. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's definitely a possibility. And
I like it because McCullough's out. They're a different team when they don't have those guys.
Yeah, and then if Gonzaga can get past McNeese and play Samford in that second round, I think Gonzaga's got an easy path to Sweet 16.
Then you got
a potential TCU.
Possibly Purdue or TCU and Utah State. Like, they have an easy way to get there, and I have Gonzaga going pretty far in my bracket. Again, not saying it's an automatic win against McNeese, but I think they're getting their dicks pumped a little too much.
Yeah,
I hear you. I just – and they're not one of the, big upsets I had. I just think that – I don't know why Gonzaga's there. I hardly know why St. Mary's is there, but I don't know why Gonzaga's at a five. So
I think St. Mary's got the short end of the stick because if they won their conference tournament, they have a much tougher path playing a tougher 12 seed, in my opinion. And then if they win, even you get to play Alabama, who can fucking shoot the lights out of the gym. And then, okay, cool. If you win that, you can potentially play like a team like North Carolina or Michigan State. Like, they just got really . If you're looking on the other side of the bracket, like, fuck, we outed these guys. We won this conference, and they over here in this corner of the bracket where it's kind of a cakewalk, in my opinion. It's just and I know that the committee's not trying to, look at that. They should, but, potential pass and things like that, that's how I look at it. It's just – it sucks that they don't look at it that way. It's like, okay, this team obviously won their conference. They should get an easier path if over this team. And it doesn't seem like it kind of fell that way.
I know there's 68 teams, so it's harder to identify specific criteria to seed them, but I feel like they could go a different way or kind of make this a little bit better and reward teams who actually won their conference tournament, played better throughout the regular season, like we've already talked about, and like you're pretty much alluding to here. And this is why I had a tough time filling out my bracket, because I'm like, I see two easier corners. And then I got the other two where it's like, okay, this could be straight chalk. And then on the other two, I'm like, okay, I got a fucking 13 and a 10 seed playing in the Elite Eight.
Yeah. So
yeah, I do have a nine and a six playing in the Elite Eight game, like legitimately. Yeah.
So real fast, because you brought up the name Michigan State. We haven't even talked about them yet.
Yeah. I'm interested to hear your guys' thoughts.
They make the tournament. They're 19-14, and look at the teams that they've beat. It's not really anybody. They beat Illinois once. They lost to Arizona.
It's a name factor.
Twice. Like,
it is, which you'd think would play a little bit of a factor in their net ranking, but their net ranking is a 24. They are 3-9 in quad one games, 6-5 in quad two. You put those together, you're at 11-14. Like, what?
There's always one team, though, in my opinion, that you look at them like you can't take rankings to. I think a Tom Izzo coach team in March,
I get that,
can get dangerous. But, and I don't think Mississippi State's super dangerous.
They weren't that dangerous in the conference tournament. I get they lost to Purdue, but
well, and the other thing is. Yes, they're dangerous, and they're probably a team you might want to watch because of Tom Izzo and just the history there, but they probably shouldn't even be there to begin with. The issue is I want to bet on beat Mississippi State now because they're here, and there's a chance now that you've got a better coach team. But
and I wish I could hone in on my gut feeling a little bit more, because I'm in the same boat. I'm like, how do they make this? I have Mississippi State winning that game. I think they're the better team. And I wanted to pick Mississippi State to upset UNC because I think they're very beatable as well. But I'm like, okay, I go back to myself, what if they fucking lose to Michigan State in the first round?
I have the exact thought process you have there. I have Michigan State winning. I have Michigan State beating UNC. Just because I think Tom Izzo's it's a bold. But you know what? Fuck it.
You got to go bold. I get it. I
also have St. Peter's being on the scene. So, I mean,
I think the winner of that game has a very good chance of beating UNC. It's just
whoever
comes out on top, and you're making the bold pick of doing so.
That's my thing, too. Like, if no matter who wins that game, I'm still rooting for them to beat North Carolina at that point. You know, everyone in the bracket pool,
unless you are a alumni or a student of a one seed, you root for the other seed every 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a rival school or something like that, but you almost have to. With that being said, We're not going to run through a full bracket, but let's kind of, let's at least run through our first round picks so we kind of know where we're at here.
Okay.
Maybe
I thought we were going to give two favorite. Okay, we'll talk about upsets. Okay. Okay.
Let's talk about
our upsets. Yeah, it'll be a part of it. Yes. Yeah.
We're going to give you guys some of our upsets. But let's at least run you through this so that once we get down to the Sweet 16, we can kind of see how good we did rather than just rattle off all these and get down to Sweet 16 and be like, oh, we had this team making it there that's an underdog, but we never really talked about them. So we'll start top left, go down, move over to the right, go down. Obviously, we have UConn.
FAU Northwestern. I've set some.
FAU Northwestern. This is, I think, going to be a phenomenal game, but FAU, to me, has shown severe lack of dog in them.
Yeah.
And you know who has dog? You know who has dog?
Boo Booey.
Last week. Boo Booey. Baba Booey. So do I.
I'm still picking FAU just because of the it's a sheer name thing of what they did last year. Like, I don't have any reason why.
They started out hot. The problem is they cooled off a little bit, but you know, they always have that potential to get hot again. I love this Northwestern team, but
and with FAU is their first half, they never show up. Like, they, it seems like they are never ready. They always have to make adjustments.
Cool. So first half under in the FAU game. The
first half Northwestern, and then if you like it, you can live bet FAU at the half.
There you go.
So we'll move on. Either way, don't think either one of them stand a chance in the second round.
Yeah.
So San Diego State UAB. I went back and forth, but no one is convincing me otherwise of this pick. I've got San Diego State.
Same. And there's a lot of hype on UAB as this 12-5 upset. And I'm not going to say that it's not a good pick because they seem to match up well on paper with San Diego State. But I rode with San Diego State partially because I already have two 12-5 upsets and I don't think there's going to be three this year. But I rode with San Diego State.
Yeah. The UAB has the 202nd ranked KenPom defense.
A little tough. I picked UAB just because of the simple fact that over the last four games, they're hitting 42% from three, and San Diego State's not good at defending three. And we talked about teams that can score well and score in March. Obviously, teams that can defend well also do well in March. And I think this is kind of like, again,
if they struggle to hit the three, they're not scoring anywhere else because San Diego State.
Exactly. Again, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, really they're good inside. So if UAB comes out cold, I would not be surprised. This is not a super confident pick for me. I picked a couple of upsets that I'm like I said at the top of the show. Like, I picked some and like was saying, I know these aren't going to happen, but I know I'm not going to get every upset right. So let me not pick just six or so. I'm gonna overcompensate for upsets. So yeah.
And again, because
I think they're
going to lose the next game.
Yes, exactly.
Because we all have Auburn beating Yale. Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about that. Next game.
Well, hold on. I want to talk about one thing with Auburn Yale.
What?
I have Auburn in my championship game.
Okay, well, that's all we need to know. So, again, it does not matter who we pick against UAB or San Diego State then, because we all think Auburn's going to go to the Sweet 16, at least. So
you could take the flyer on them. The next game, I think, is a team that one of these teams could make some noise and could cause some fits to the team they play next, BYU and Duquesne. This one, for me, is a coin toss.
Yep, I have Duquesne in this game. BYU is just falling apart down the stretch.
Yep.
I know they've played some really good competition in the Big 12. It's one of the most stacked conferences in the NCAA this year. But BYU had it all put together and then suddenly all of it just fell apart. I think Duquesne getting hot at the right time, BYU not getting cooling off at the wrong time, kind of just spells recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I rode Duquesne throughout the entire A-10 tournament, but I know they crumble in late game situations. The lack of experience might haunt them a little bit here. I was lean Duquesne, ended up flipping to BYU.
Yeah, I picked Duquesne. I'm on Ethan's side as well. So the big things, everyone thinks that the 12 over the 5 is the biggest upset in NCAA tournament history. Not the case. Over the last decade, that has actually changed to 11 over a 6. So that's a 38% hit rate over the last decade, 11s over 6s. So I have a few
11s. Two others.
Yeah, I have a few 11s myself. I actually have Yeah, I probably went a little overzealous with the upsets, to be honest with you. But again, I'm trying to overcompensate because I think a lot of these teams are going to upset, like to Travis's point. Like you can take a flyer. If I'm picking 311s, they're probably going to lose in the second round. Even the sixes might lose too. So, yeah, I have Duquesne as well.
That's fair. I just had to pick BYU because I wanted something different and might be super, super hot and bite me in the ass, but I have them in my Sweet 16. We have Illinois over Moorhead. Obviously, yep. All of us do. I just have seen Illinois lack in some points of the game, and they've always come back to keep it close. But against a team, if they do that against Duquesne, they can overcome it and run away with it. They do that against BYU, different story. It might be able to flip it on them.
Well, and I'll give you history on your side too. They haven't made it out of the first weekend of the tournament and since like some time in the early 2010s. In their recent success, I mean, they've been a one seed, they've been a two seed, a three seed, whatever the case may be. They've either lost their first round of the tournament or they've lost second round of the tournament on Saturday, Sunday. So history's on your side with that one.
There we have it. We'll move into the bottom. Obviously, we have Washington State, so we'll round it out with the last team, last game. Washington State, Drake. What do you got?
I have Drake.
You want to talk?
I have Drake.
I have Drake as well.
You guys are going to maybe rattle me here. Drake in my Elite Eight.
Yep. I as soon as you said Duquesne was beating Illinois, I was like, you've got Drake beating Iowa State, and then you've got
I have Drake in my Sweet 16. Duquesne. I have Drake in my Sweet 16.
I do not, but I don't hate the thought process there. I still have Iowa State. You have
Drake winning this game?
But I do. Yeah, I have Drake winning this game.
I wanted to pick something different. I know that Iowa, again, you get to a situation where if Iowa State struggles to score the ball, anybody can beat them. Yeah. They get that lid on the basket. They're getting beaten. I had to take a flyer on them. I initially had 1, 2, 3, 4 in the East in my Elite Eight or my Sweet 16. I was like, gotta change it up. So put Drake in there.
And also, again, I mean, I've talked about it before. I'll talk about it until this tournament's over. This is going to be one of the wildest tournaments I think we've seen in a while because of how
or boring.
Like, how well, yeah, it could be.
We had literally a fucking FAU in the Final Four last year. I mean, I don't know how much wilder that could get in the fucking 5 seed in the championship game. Wasn't San Diego State a 5 seed?
Yes,
8 seed,
probably. Yeah, but
we had an 8 seed year before that in a fucking championship game. But, so
yeah, but I hear you. But I think because of NIL, the transfer portal. We're just going to keep seeing it get more and more wild. And we've just seen it this year in the regular season of teams that we think are dominant, constantly getting beat by other teams. There's no team this year outside of maybe UConn that I'm just like, yeah, that's the team. And the issue is UConn won it last year. Nobody's went back to back in, there's only been two teams that have went back to back in the last like 50 years. Yeah. And before that it was in like the 70s with UCLA or some shit. So it just doesn't happen.
They literally had, what's his dick?
Kareem? Was Kareem on that UCLA team?
It wasn't Kareem. I wanted to say Kareem too. It was another big center. But yeah, it's here. Yeah.
Colorado State beats Virginia by 25 in a game that missed the over by 12 points, in which Virginia had 14 points in the first half. Give me a fucking break. All right, we'll move to the bottom left, which is the West. Obviously, we all have UNC. We've talked about the Mississippi State-Michigan matchup. I ended up going with UNC into the Sweet 16. Me and Ethan both have Mississippi State winning. Jared has Michigan State in the Sweet 16, so a little controversial there. St. Mary's Grand Canyon. Me and Jared already alluded, we have Grand Canyon.
Ethan. Yep. I didn't want to go with 3 12-5 upsets, which kind of alludes to my other 12-5 matchups. I have St. Mary's in this game as much as I just dogged on their seeding, but I do not have them making it any further than that. So,
all right. Alabama Charleston. Alabama lets up a million points a game. I have 12-13 in the round of 32 facing each other.
Yeah, they could well lose this game for sure. Losing this game, but this is an upset watch for sure.
Yeah, I have Alabama winning. I have Alabama going kind of far just because of how my bracket lays out. I know it's not ideal, but this is how it kind of laid out for me. I do, but I could see them losing too. So,
alrighty. Clemson, New Mexico.
New Mexico all day long.
I have the Lobos in the Elite Eight, so
it's one of my favorite upsets of the first round. If I'm picking two favorite upsets, like we talked about coming to this podcast, this is one of my favorite ones.
I will take New Mexico in my bracket. Will not bet on this game because I think Clemson could win it. New Mexico, to me, when they play away from home, they play away from the pit, we've seen them struggle a little bit. So I don't know how well it's going to go for them.
Yeah.
Baylor, Colgate. I think we all have Baylor.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Matchup. Dayton and Nevada.
I like the Wolfpack here.
I have Nevada in my Sweet 16.
Yeah, I like the Wolfpack here.
I'm riding Dayton's hot hand. I'm riding them through the A-10 tournament, but that's about the only reason, is just riding them through the hot hand. Again, West teams are hot, so I won't say that it's not going to be an upset, but I'm riding with Dayton.
Fair enough. The only quad one wins they have, St. John's, SMU, Cincinnati. This just doesn't get me excited. Doesn't get me going.
Gets people going.
We all have Arizona. The crazy upsets we have to make the Sweet 16 out of this region. I have Grand Canyon. Ethan has New Mexico.
I have New Mexico as well.
I have Grand Canyon. Kane.
Yep.
I have, well, in the bottom. I have New Mexico making the Sweet 16 and Michigan State making the Sweet 16. I'm in the bottom left.
Oh, sorry. I was in the top left. Sorry. But yes. Yeah.
All right. Go to the South. Well, off Houston. Sorry, Longwood. We're going to have to leave the euphemism to St. Peter's this year. However, I think this next game, the winner of it could really challenge Houston in the second round. Nebraska, A&M. And this is a coin flip for me.
It is. A&M has been sneakily riding the wave, but Nebraska is it Tominaga? That motherfucker can shoot the lights out. He's the Japanese Steph Curry. That's literally what they're calling him. He has been a X factor for this Nebraska team, except for in the Big Ten tournament. So maybe he doesn't show up when the lights are super bright. I don't know. We're going to find out. But I'm riding with A&M here. I think that they have a more well-rounded team.
I got Nebraska. I think the coach plays a big factor here with Fred Hoiberg having that big-time tournament experience with Iowa State, now with Nebraska. But it is a flip-flop. It's basically a pick-em.
I think I picked each one of them and advanced them 900 times. I landed on Nebraska, but it literally, like, I don't even know what the line is. Because Texas A&M has 2 3-point shooters and Tyrese Radford and Wade Taylor. So it's like, but on the flip side, I don't know how Nebraska is, but I've seen a lot of Texas A&M games and they cannot shoot a free throw to save their lives.
I'll tell you right now, the line is Nebraska -1.
Yeah.
There you go. There you have it.
Pick them. I have a very strong opinion about this next game. If no one wants to take the lead on it.
I'll preface by saying this, and then this isn't throwing my cards away at all. I don't love any of the 12 seeds this year, but I went a different route with my pick.
This is my favorite upset of the first round. James Madison over Wisconsin.
I thought it was New Mexico.
I said that was one of my that was I said
that's
I,
my favorite.
Ethan said to come with two. This I've came with. I said that's one of my favorites. This is my
favorite. There you go. Okay.
James Madison over Wisconsin. James Madison has three players that shoot 35% or better from 3-point, and Wisconsin is 344th in the country at defending the 3-pointer,
3-ball.
So okay.
You might have just convinced me. I had James Madison. Didn't love it.
So.
JMU is one of my 12-5 upsets. There's only two left, and I told you I had two. JMU, 31-3. I know that they're playing in a Sun Belt conference that's not the most competitive in the world. Wisconsin's been super up and down this year. Obviously, they made the Big Ten championship game. They were also super competitive in that game. But you tire yourself out in a conference championship run. And then you've got JMU, who's just been hot all year, and you just mentioned it. They've got three guys that can just shoot the absolute lights out. I didn't pick them against Duke, but do not be surprised if Duke wins, if they beat Duke. I'm just going to say that out loud.
That's fair. So think of going in Duke, Vermont, I think Vermont's luck of the Irish kind of runs.
I got Vermont winning.
Do you actually?
Sure, has the
Carissa, 12th, yeah, Carissa would love it. My wife is a UVM alum, so she is happy to sit down on the couch and watch that game. But
I initially did, and
great time. It's at 6 o'clock on Thursday night, I think.
It is.
I looked at the initial.
Friday night. It's 6 o'clock Friday night.
Oh yeah.
Initially, I picked Vermont when I first saw the bracket, but then I looked at kind of the things. I'm like,
yeah,
they don't have Duke. They don't have it.
The thing is Vermont is here every year. If you look at their history in the the Patriot League, they win that conference more times than not. But they're always typically a 13, 14, 15, 16 seed. I don't think they've made it past the first round yet. If my history serves me correct, at least in recent history. And I don't think that
first
changes
time,
here.
First time for anything, man.
Duke doesn't
impress me this year. And spoiler alert, I have James Madison in my Sweet 16 because I have them beating Vermont in the second round. But I think they could beat Duke. And that's another reason why I kind of like, to Travis's point, if I think James Madison can win that game regardless of who wins, a 13 seed usually wins once every year, and this is my 13 seed I have winning. So Travis had a 12-13 in the other corner of the bracket, so this is my 12-13. So
there you go. Yeah, that's fair. Texas Tech, NC State. This is a game. This is tough because I want to. Well, I'm like, okay, Texas Tech, they're a good team, but NC State is just on a ride right now.
I'm riding that.
They got in there by winning the conference tournament. I put NC State in my Sweet 16.
I have NC State winning this game too.
I have NC State winning this game. I think Hot Hand, a team that wasn't even – and there's something about teams that just were not supposed to be there. They wouldn't have made the tournament had they not won the championship. And now it's something like that where they make it. They weren't supposed to be there. They make a run. I wouldn't be surprised if they were in the Sweet 16 either.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going up against a team in the next game that has an atrocious defense in Kentucky. Apparently, I think we all think Kentucky's going to beat Oakland. They drew a – really easy 14 seed. I think all the 14 seeds this year kind of suck, but
yeah,
they do. Yeah.
Next game, Florida, Boise State, or Colorado.
Florida.
It's tough.
It's easy for me. It's Florida. I don't know why that one felt so easy.
If it's Boise State, I have Boise State. If it's Colorado, I have Florida.
I don't even know. Like,
don't think it matters ultimately, though. Who wins?
Well, I was gonna say I don't think analytically I can say a whole lot here because I have Florida pretty deep in my bracket. I like the way they've looked, and I also like some of the matchups that they might run into. Even if they run into Kentucky, I know they got to get through Marquette, but Marquette has proven that they've also been beatable this year. I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but I took a flyer on them. I like the chances of them making a deeper run in this tournament.
It's not bad. I mean, I don't
that
hate
being
that
said,
because you get everyone has their team they're like, you know, this is the team I think is gonna make a run. So yeah.
Well, and also there's something about, you know, you get these first four teams, they get the nerves out of the way with the first four game. They kind of get some of that play under their belt.
Florida's not a first four team.
I said on like the contrary. I took Florida to go deep, but on the contrary, you get these teams like Colorado and Boise State. They're gonna play each other, they're gonna get the nerves out, they're gonna get just some play under their belt, kind of get the feel for how things are going. They could easily upset Florida in the first round. But I just didn't go that way.
That's fair. I have Marquette in my Elite Eight just because I think their road is one of the
They also are a very good team, yes. And I have them obviously in this game.
So there we go. Move on down to the last in Midwest region. I think we all have got Purdue.
I hope so.
I know they're bad in the tournament, but we're not going to pick up a 1-16 upset.
Well, they lost as a one seed last year. They're not doing it 2 years in a row. There's no way.
Utah State, TCU, 8-9 matchup. I love this pick. And now I think I'm going to pick it in probably 90% of the brackets if I fill out more than a few.
TCU?
TCU.
Yeah, I love TCU. I think TCU's a sneaky – if I had to pick a team that's lower than a 7 seed to make a
TCU
run,
in my Sweet 16.
I have TCU in my Elite 8. So, yeah.
I have TCU winning this game. I'm sorry. Not – as bold,
I have TCU in the Final Four. I'm sorry. I have TCU in the Final Four.
Oh, my God.
Again.
I swear to God, I do.
But I – no, again, Big 12, deep this year. Very competitive conference. Like, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of convincing, even if the team didn't have the record to show for it. They played a lot of good fucking teams. So, I have TCU.
I'm just tired of picking fucking chalk and then, like, they're like last year got blown up. So, I'm going to be that guy. Like, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, whatever. But if I'm right, you're never going to fucking hear the end of it.
This for me is the corner. This is the corner of the bracket that for me is either going to be, I'll call some big upsets or just gets completely blown up in my face, because I will give you the teams that I think are very fraudulent and can get upset rather easily. But if I pick it, it's going to blow up my face. It's Purdue, Creighton, and Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I think, I think Creighton is, I think Creighton's not the best either. But you have some other teams that they're playing up against that aren't the strongest higher seeds either, like TCU, not great, Gonzaga, South Carolina. Like, none of these teams super scare me either. So it's like, what side do I want to take? Do I want to take the high seed or do I want to take the upset?
Well, this is my chaos. This is my chaos corner. Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say you talked about three teams that are on upset alert. I literally had three other teams in this region that could be on upset alert. So that just shows you how chaotic this region could be, to Jared's point.
Yeah.
Ethan has McNeese here. I do. He's already alluded to it. Me and Jared both have Gonzaga. I have Gonzaga in my Elite Eight just because
of Samford.
The route. We all have Samford over Kansas because
we do.
No Kevin McCuller. Fuck Kansas.
If Dickinson's at 70%, which it sounds like he might be, again, those guys literally are their entire offense and defense. They were half their scoring this season. They accounted for literally 36 of their 72 points per game scored, and rebounding, they averaged, I think it was like 17 of their 36 rebounds per game. Like, it is literally half their offense that is either out or hurt.
There we have it. South Carolina, Oregon. Everyone is on the Oregon train. They are on my no bet list. So.
Yep, South Carolina. Yep, sweet. So do I. Easy enough.
Awesome. Creighton, Akron. Creighton. What do we have in the South Carolina Creighton game?
I got South Carolina going to the Elite Eight. I have South Carolina going to the Elite Eight. Yep.
All right. Fair enough. Texas and Colorado State.
Well, based on that game I just watched, I'm taking Texas. But
yeah,
I really wanted to take Colorado State, but literally just watching that Colorado State UVA game, even though they won by 25, it just nothing impressed me about that game.
That's fair. I think them scoring 65 on Virginia is a little impressive.
That's a good point.
In its own right. I know that Virginia doesn't have a great offense, but shutting down to, you know, 45 points, kind of, or 41 points, whatever it was, pretty impressive. I have them beating Texas, and then if they can play defense like they did tonight, no problem beating Tennessee. All you got to do is stop one player.
Yeah.
They have to beat St. Peter's.
They're beating St. Peter's, man. I have St. Peter's beating Tennessee, and I have Texas in the Sweet 16. I mean, this is my one bracket that it's either gonna be like I'm gonna look like a fucking genius, or it's gonna be red after the first day. Just like, you're wrong, motherfucker. Yep. So I always have one of those. So this is gonna be it.
It's March Madness for a reason. Nobody ever gets it right, and there's always worth just taking a chance on some of these upsets that nobody ever picks. So I love it. Exactly. I love the thought process.
All right. We've talked about it. We've given some of our upsets. I think we all gave a little bit more than two, which is totally okay. We're not going to elaborate. Final fours.
And then I want to actually build on top of that really fast. So you said you don't want to elaborate, but give your final fours. Then also give a team that you want to see win. Not that you think is going to win, that you would want to see win this year. If you have one. If you don't have one.
No one in my final four.
Yeah.
That's fair. And that's fair. But if you have one, then cool. If not, it's fine too.
Okay. I hate my Final Four, to be honest with you, but yeah.
So do I. I have UConn, Baylor, Houston, Gonzaga.
I got Illinois, Arizona, Houston, TCU.
Oh, I got to pull mine up because I did not have it pulled up, although I should have. I just had the bracket pulled
that
up.
I think I had a combination of three or four different teams I wanted to pick coming out of that Midwest side, the bottom right. All of them could get blown up, so I went with Gonzaga, which I think has the easier path.
Mm-hmm.
Had to do it.
I mean, again, it's a flyer pick. Just like I have TCU coming out of that corner.
So whoever wins that Sweet 16 game.
Yeah.
Mine, you guys may not love, especially with one of them, but I have Auburn, North Carolina, Houston, Tennessee.
Oof, I hate that last one. I'm sorry.
I know. That's why I was like, I knew you guys just talked about how you didn't love Tennessee. And you guys didn't really love UNC either, but
no.
I have.
So we all dogged on Houston. We're just saying they could lose that second round game.
I didn't dog on Houston. I love Houston.
I'm just saying that's a tough game. That's their toughest game they'll play, arguably.
It is. But I, I don't want to give everything away, but like, I love Houston this year.
I have Houston win the whole thing, so there you go. Over Illinois,
I have UConn repeating.
And this could be the year that it happens. UConn, top to bottom, is the best team on paper, and they've been the best team just in game play too.
Which is why 25 or 26% of brackets having them win. Yep. So it's just gain an advantage. You gain an advantage by not picking them and them losing earlier.
Right. It's so tough. To repeat, but if there was a team that would repeat, it would be UConn.
But I have UConn, Houston in the championship, so at least I have that going for me.
I love that you have Illinois in the championship game, Jarrett. Until I see them get past the first weekend, I can't do it. So I had them losing in the round of 32 because I don't believe it.
We have a lot of similar picks, but we have a lot of differentiating picks The final Sweet pick, 16. I have Illinois losing in the round of 32. So there we have
it. I was wrong. I have them losing to Iowa State in the Sweet 16, but still.
All right. Cool. Well, there you have it with March Madness talk. We are going to get a drink, go pee, and be right back with our draft.
All righty. We are back, and we are jumping in to a game that I came up with earlier this week. Not like it was super hard or creative to come up with. But I figured in the spirits of March Madness and the joy that is the first weekend of March Madness, we would jump into a draft of our top days in sports. And essentially what I mean by that is it can be a specific game. It can be an event in sports. It can be just something that within the sports realm on that day is one of the best days of the year, if that makes sense. If not, you'll get it as we go and we start to draft our days, I guess. I was going to say teams, but there are no teams. So we'll jump into our days. Jarrett gets to be our lucky 101 of this draft. We will do snake style as we always do, and there will be five rounds.
I'm second. Ethan's third. Poverty.
Yeah. So for me, this is so tough because I think – one of the best days in sports, in my opinion, because I literally track this all year long, but it's the first full NFL Sunday, like the first full NFL Sunday, week one, fuck Thursday night. I think the first like full slate of NFL Sunday, when you sit down and watch Red Zone from fucking noon until it ends and then watch Sunday Night Football. Like, I think that's one of the best days for me as a sports fan, because you got fantasy, betting, player props, all this shit happening. It's just super fun.
Not where I thought you were going to go with 101, but I mean, I won't disagree with it. It's one of the best days in sports, but
I don't disagree. Mine is down between two, and I'm really thinking I might be able to push one of my options off to my next pick. And I got to go recency or kind of current state bias, because I'm very excited, even though this year hasn't been like wild, but it's always like the Thursday of March Madness, the feeling when I wake up in the morning, like it kind of sounds corny, but it's like I just get excited for basketball and awesome to watch awesome games. I feel like it used to be a little bit more exciting, and kind of as the years have fallen by, it's gotten a little bit less, because I feel like there used to be so many games on at once when we were in college, but now it's like one every like hour or so. But either way, I still got to go opening day of March Madness.
Yeah. I thought that was going to be 101. I think that regardless of how like trends have gone, this is still like the mecca of US sports. Is just this weekend of preparing. If you don't watch any college basketball all year long, that's what you're watching. A lot of people take off for it. I love this event. So I don't disagree with you there. I will then jump into my first round pick. Jarrett, you talked about first weekend of NFL Sunday. I am taking week one college football Saturdays. Yep. I know we're not in college anymore, but man, something just still hits with that crisp air. Well, granted, I guess it's September, so it's probably still pretty warm. But just something about that first weekend of college football Saturdays that just gets you pumped, even though it's mostly dog shit games. Just the fact that it's back before NFL. So it's your first taste of football in months. I just love that weekend.
Okay.
What you want? Oh, shit. I'm back to back. So after that, you guys might flame me for this. And I've loved it a whole lot more since we've done this podcast, but it's the NFL draft day. I love Thursday night NFL draft day now because of what we've done on the podcast with the mock drafts, getting hyped for your team, but also to see how our picks go. I never sat down and watched the NFL draft before this podcast when you guys did the mock, and then I jumped in, and now just kind of the excitement around getting to sit down and watch that is super fun.
I didn't even think about that. That's totally slid by the wayside, but I love that. Honestly, and low-key, betting on the draft, even more electric.
Yep.
Even more electric. It slid to me. Glad I took it. As of lately, given the past 5 years, it's been kind of ass. But even though I don't like the teams in the matchup, still really fun. Make a whole day out of it. Super Bowl Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. That was going to be my next pick, so love that.
That was almost my one pick, but like to Travis's point, like it's sometimes I'm still a big proponent of I don't like the time. Now that I have a kid, I don't like that time the Super Bowl starts.
Should be Sunday. Or it should be Saturday, I'm sorry.
I don't like the day of the Super Bowl. It should be Saturday, like 7:15 start, in my opinion. Whatever. Yeah. Anywho, I like that pick. Okay, so I got a couple back-to-backs here. I am going to go with And like to Ethan's point, like this could just be like a sporting event, but I feel like this really holds true. It's to me, this is the best playoffs in all of sport, a Stanley Cup Game 7 final. Like that to me, whether it's your team or not, like that is like mecca of sport. Like I think that's, I've always said this all the time. Hockey has the best playoffs in all of sports. All the four major sports, hockey's the best. Sorry, you can argue me all day long. It's the best. So I think a Stanley Cup Game 7 final. And then my next pick is probably – oh, this is getting tough now. I should have thought about this a little bit more. kind of went one of this off the rip. Oh, it's New Year's Six bowl games. New Year's Six bowl games slash the college football playoff games, whichever ones you want to – because sometimes they do fall on New Year's Day. But it's that New Year's Day college football playoff bowl game day. So,
all right.
Yeah. So first, real fast, I don't have any stats to back this up, but I have to assume that the Stanley Cup Finals probably has more game sevens than any other sport. And I don't have any stats to back that up, but I feel like there's probably more game sevens in the NHL than the MLB, than the NBA. So the fact that it happens more frequently too, I mean, it happened with the Blues not even a few years ago. And that was just electric. I'll never forget that day just because of how electric it was. So I like that pick.
Yeah.
So can I do like a weekend of events?
Yes. Cause I know where you're going. I know where you're going with this.
I know you're going. I know you're going with this too.
It's Masters weekend.
Yep. I literally had it written down and I was like, Travis is going to take this.
I almost picked that, but I was like, that's not my forte.
I mean, dude, it's just like it's one of those where I want to take off. It's like it's almost equivalent to March Madness weekend for me. Like, I want to take off work on Thursday, Friday to watch the Masters. There's nothing like it, especially when you're betting on it.
And I wrote down in my notes, if we wanted to go with a specific day, I put Sunday at the Masters. Like, there's just something about
you could go either way,
Sunday, but relaxing. There's not really any other sports on in April at that time on a Sunday, maybe playoff basketball and hockey, but like just sitting down and watching that full round of Sunday at the Masters, especially if it's close between a couple players, just is such a nice, relaxing day of golf. But
especially if you're hungover.
Absolutely. And are we more times than not? Probably yes. So. Cool. Well, that makes my back-to-back picks a little bit easier then. My next pick, again, we're not all super on the same page with this one, but I will always forever be a diehard. It's opening day MLB. There's just something for me about being a diehard MLB fan of sitting down on that. Now it's Thursday nights. Thursday afternoons, and just being able
opening to day is special. Well, a lot more special than just like a regular MLB game. So I definitely
for sure. Outside of, you know, watching the other 161 games. But yeah, no, I just love sitting. The last couple of years, the Cardinals on opening day, if for some reason, it seems like they've played a lot of afternoon games. So I will literally pull it up on my computer at work or whatever, my phone on the side, and I'll just watch it while I work. This year they play on the West Coast at the Dodgers. So I think it's like a 5 or 6 o'clock game. I will still be watching it, but
I'll probably watch that this year.
It is just such a great day in sports. Jared, I'm going to jump off of one of your picks for my next pick, but it is Thursday night football. Throughout the year, there's something about, now that Travis and I have made it a tradition, and one of our friends as well, of getting together for Thursday night football, watching NFL on Thursday night, just something special about getting together, having some drinks, watching shitty football, because Thursday night football has been shitty so much in the last few years. But
yeah, that's a good one. My next one could be, you could leave out a few, but I have to somewhat narrow it down without going super crazy. It's going to be UFC pay-per-view events.
Mm-hmm.
I would say 85% of them are typically pretty darn good, especially the ones like we get together like last weekend. You got UFC 300. So any of the big pay-per-view or UFC events that night is just, I look forward to it all Saturday. I'm just like, can I skip my Saturday and just fast forward to 5 o'clock?
Yeah, no, that's a great one. Any big card is huge. So I got back-to-back picks here. These are my last two, I suppose.
Round it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I'm going to go with I have a couple options here. I don't know which way I want to lean. But
I feel like there's a big one still on the board.
There's a couple big ones that's still on the board. This isn't like a typical sporting event, but I think it's one that like any non-sporting event, like even if you don't really watch sports, or even if you don't watch this all the time, it's something you like, I got to bet on that. It's a Kentucky Derby. It's such a big spectacle. You get the whole hats, you get to wear the hats down there. My in-laws have gone numerous times. That's a blast. Travis Bennett literally watched the fucking final race and like that whole, when that one horse got DQ'd, we were in a Vegas pool party and Travis like literally watched it from a Vegas pool party. So I'll take the Kentucky Derby, and then I will go with a big day, and it's just a fun day because like it's like you're around family and it's fun. It's Thanksgiving football.
That's where I thought you were going to go. I was waiting for that.
It's a classic. It's a classic. Thanksgiving football is a classic. The games aren't always super fun, but just something about eating food, being around family, and watch football is super nice. So
it's a good one. It's a good one. I didn't think of it. Super niche. This, I was thinking of this one before I thought of the Masters. Again, you could either love or hate my picks because I have the sports that aren't necessarily exciting, but I feel like this makes the days of the event more exciting. Especially this one comes around only once every 2 years. I got to go. You guys might not love it, but I got to go the Ryder Cup.
Okay. No, I don't hate it at all. I think it's a fun golf event that gets more people invested than maybe would be with golf. So I don't hate that at all. especially because it's a country v country event. Something that's kind of special about that. But yeah,
absolutely.
Cool. I guess I have the last one to round it off then. Speaking of something that might be super niche, maybe not as popular in recent years. I guess it depends on what kind of friend group you have, how you get together to do it. But it's fantasy football draft night. For
that is super whatever fun
league that you're in. I know that some people love to get together in person. Some people we've gotten either gotten together in person or we've done it through Zoom, which is also still super fun just to get together, have that draft, have some drinks. But fantasy football draft night is a fun one too.
Ethan, you're gonna love being a part of the new league once we get you into, because we get together every single year and it's always fun. So
yeah, there's different ways that people do drafts, determine draft order, obviously make your punishments at the draft, drink. Fun time. Drafts in person are much more fun than doing them just on the basic ESPN app or whatever app you want to do it through, just whether you're at home. So that's a good one. Didn't even think of it. Didn't even consider it. We got some good quality picks here that I think could be. I mean, no one ran away with it.
I know. It was a solid draft.
You're definitely.
This is a postable one.
It's a postable one to get votes on. So everyone's going to listen for March Madness. That starts on Thursday, but Friday be like, hey, here's our draft. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you guys see the Jets sign Mike Williams?
Yes.
I did not.
$15 million?
$15 million for 1 year.
Wow.
Cool. There you go. It's going to suck when they don't have a quarterback to throw to him because he's going to be the running for vice president. So, I mean.
Hey, he's announcing that on March 20th. Or wait, did that happen already? Tomorrow's March 20th. Yep. I was like, shit, is today March 20th?
He's announcing whether he is or not.
No, RFK is announcing who his running mate is tomorrow. So we will.
Well, his options are Aaron Rodgers or Jesse the fucking Body Ventura. So I mean,
I've heard that there's like some like young, I don't know how old she is, but she looks like she's in her like mid 30s, billionaire who is like getting into the political game that like will help him because he's an older guy. She's a younger girl. I've heard that that's the front runner, but
no one's helping him.
Well, Nicole Shanahan. Is that her?
Sorry, say that again.
Nicole Shanahan.
I think so. Yes. I saw it on TikTok. That's the only reason I know.
But she emerges as a top candidate to be his running mate.
There you go. So that's my guess, but
she's a Bay Area lawyer, but either way, that's where we have it, folks. Keep posted to the Twitter page. It's where we're going to be putting out all of our picks for the weekend, all the picks coming up. We've been doing pretty decent over the last few weeks. We're back in the positive now since September. That's probably putting out upwards of 200 picks. We're up like 4 units. So
there you go. And we will probably be back next week on Wednesday because the Sweet 16 will start on Thursday. Yes.
Yep.
So
we'll kind of cover where we thought or predicted the tournament would go. And then there's also the second chance bracket that ESPN puts out that we might be able to kind of take a run at from there. So we will see you next week.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.